Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall Boylan. Next tonight, I want to address a critical issue affecting communities across Ireland, the housing crisis. The discussion caused absolute scenes in the Dáil today, as it's clearly one of the most heated issues to be tackled by our government. As property prices soar and rental availability dwindles, the dream of securing a home is becoming increasingly elusive for many. In response to this escalating crisis, the government convened their first meeting of focused on housing challenges. A significant proposal emerging from this meeting is a crackdown on short-term lettings, particularly those facilitated by platforms like Airbnb. The objective is to transition properties from the tourism sector back into the long-term rental market, thereby increasing housing availability for residents. Beyond regulating short-term rentals, the government is also re-evaluating rent pressure zones. These zones, established to cap rent increases at 2% per annum in designated areas, are set to expire on December 31st, 2025. Taoiseach Micheál Martin has indicated that the government will reassess the future of RPZs before this expiration date, considering potential reforms for extensions. In addition to these measures, several other policies have been proposed to address the housing crisis, such as tax reforms, streamlining planning processes, utilising vacant properties, and going back to renting. Thousands of properties in South Dublin were found to be in breach of minimum standards for rental tenancies last year, according to new figures. Inspectors on behalf of South Dublin County Council carried out surveys at 4,772 properties within the local authority last year, finding that 3,594 non-compliant with regulations that set minimum standards for rental homes. People Before Profit councillor Dara Adelaide, who requested the information, has described the figures as shocking and has called for the introduction of strict penalties to curb what he deemed negligence from landlords. So that's about renting properties. The Housing for All scheme was introduced back in 2021 with a vision to build 300,000 homes by 2030, but many are sceptical that this target will be met. So we want to hear from you. Do you believe that what do you believe needs to be done to effectively address the housing crisis? Have you been personally affected? Are you currently on a housing list, living with family due to housing shortages, or contemplating immigration even in search of affordable living? Share your experiences and suggestions with us. Let us know your thoughts on WhatsApp 087 188 0008 or get involved on social media on Facebook at Ireland's Classic Hits and on X at Classic Hits Radio. I'm going to go to Mary first. Hi, Mary, how are you?
Hi, AJ, how are you?
Not too bad. So, the housing crisis, what are you thinking?
Between the first topic a while ago and this topic, I'm on a rant here.
No, go for it. Go, Mary. You rant away.
No, the thing is, I'm on about this topic now, about the housing thing. That's, as I said to the girl there a second ago when she rang me, I said, okay, everyone deserves a house. I get that. A roof, basically. And our own are not being looked after at all. I'm speaking on behalf of my daughter. She's got three children. A 14-year-old boy, he'll be 14 in March. A 7-year-old, nearly. And Georgia Lee, I shouldn't have mentioned her name. The little girl is four, nearly. So that's two boys, one girl. She's in a two-bedroom apartment. Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening. Go ahead.
Yeah. And the one bedroom with the two boys are in, when they get out of the bed, they're in the hall, basically. Now, if there's a fire in her apartment, she has nobody getting out. Because her dryer is there, her clothes horse is there. Her hall now is only the size, about 2 feet wide. No.
So, I mean, it's not fit for purpose, is it?
It's not. It's dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. Now, she's 10 years there. No, she was born and reared here. And no sign of a place for her.
And is she on a list?
Oh, God, yeah. She's on a list as long as my arm. You know, in Limerick. No, I'm not talking about Limerick. It's the same everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's time and time again. It's the same issue. So, I mean, how long has she been on the list and how long more do you expect that she will be on it?
She's on it since Jake is 14 in March, the 3rd of March.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have mentioned his name. She'll kill me.
Oh, don't worry. Anyway. Don't worry. Just we'll scrap that.
But anyway, I can't make it out. I really can't. I went out to a house because I was buying something. I think I said this before tonight. And I was buying something off of, came up on Marketplace in Courtmary. Obviously, I went out. And the housing estate that I went into, now, don't get me wrong, as I said, they all deserve a house. There was not one Irish person in that whole estate.
And was this affordable housing or was it just a regular housing estate?
I don't, no. Affordable, my eye. No, it was, to be rented. There was one Irish girl that I know that's gone in there. And she's only after gone in lately. She wasn't there when I went out to buy that, whatever I bought at the time. But the rest were, yeah. And, you know, the lady was lovely. I'm not saying it's not her fault. The lady was lovely that I bought it, set a thing up for her. She was lovely. And she told me, she says, full of my family. I said, okay, that's great. Beautiful houses now, and they have them spotless. That's fine. But why don't they look after our own? And then, do you know what I mean? Or it's our own, and then, I don't know the situation, I can't. And my daughter would be fuming.
So there is a lot of foreign investment coming in, and this is obviously, you know, frustrating a lot of people seeing foreign investments.
This is why the confusion is.
Taking up a lot of new builds and new homes and that. And people are wondering, why isn't there something in place to ensure that people who have been trying to get a home for a very long time in this country, they aren't, you know, sort of put ahead of others coming in with foreign, you know, foreign investment.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go to Jerry. Jerry, hi, how are you?
Not too bad.
So the housing crisis... It's a big one.
It's been like that for years, and nothing has changed except it's got worse. I mean, our government and previous governments have not built, I don't know, it's since the 80s. They talk about social housing and builders having it for 5 or so. They're not social housing at all. They're costing 390,000. Nobody can afford them. And the people... That lady was referring to, and it includes Irish people as well, by the way. So these people are getting houses, and he's paying for them. It's HAP. That's who's paying for these houses. And like in 2023, there was a record payment from HAP. It was 515 million. Who did that go to? It went to private landlords. Not to the people that want to buy the houses. They 550 million to squander. And give to private landlords. Why can't they build houses with that? Like, why the government are giving away our land to foreign investors to build houses and make absolutely millions, beyond a million. And then if they do the wrong thing, they'll bail them out. I mean, we heard Micheál Martin there talking about going to give them more tax breaks. Pastor Donoghue was knocked on the head. But even he knows how stupid that was. So the old Fianna Fáil story is here again. Let's bail out and let's fund the private developers, but not the ordinary people.
And, I mean, what do you think about them saying that they're going to crack down on short-term and holiday lets? I mean, that would bring, they're saying, up to 12,000 homes back into the private rental market. And, I mean, obviously that would be a great addition to... Because if anybody's trying to rent a house at the moment in Ireland, it's an absolute nightmare. There's nothing available, very little available anyway. So what do you think about that that policy?
That's true. That's just short talk. I mean, they're going to bring onto the private rental market, and what are they going to rent a mill for? 2,000 or 3,000 a month.
I mean, that is the thing. It's the rents need to come down as well. But I mean, if there is more in the market, then hopefully then the rents will. Start to slowly come down.
The rent is not going to come down. All that has done with the rent has gone up.
Yeah, I know.
The rent has gone up and up and up. I mean, there's a house here where I live in Tallaght, and it's a private estate. I mean, it's 635,000 they're looking to for this house. The rent in Tallaght where I'm living at the moment is 3,500 a month. And that's what it is. Unless you go into a corporation estate, where and even at that, the 2,000, 2,500 a month. And
did you
say house at the corporation?
Did you say that was in Tala, yeah. $2,500 a month?
In Tala, yeah. And I mean, but it's $3,500 in the city I live in.
And how many bedrooms is in the house?
Three bedrooms.
A three-bedroom house?
And do you think you can get one? Well, what I'm saying is, well, who is getting them is, like that lady said, they're being supported by the social welfare. And these are the people that rent these houses out. They're moving in mm-hmm. left, right and centre.
100%,
and
yeah.
They're moving in left, right and centre. And I don't know how these are jumping this, because I know, and I'm not picking on foreign nationals by no means whatsoever, but I don't know how they're getting houses ahead of everybody else. Well, I actually do know how they're doing it, because the people are helping to do it. NGOs are helping to do it. Belong to different organisations. But that's not my point anyway. That's not what this discussion is about. The discussion is about this government is supporting private landlords. And they have a Section 24 all over the country. But this was challenged by Mairead McGuinness in the European Court. And the European Court ruled that Ireland was acting illegally, but not allowing people to build on their own land. So in all the different counties around Ireland, a farmer or anybody else who owns land around Ireland, they can't build on it. Because it's a Section 24.
Yeah, I mean, so they can't even put like a log home on their land.
They can put nothing, but a private developer can come into the same county and maybe build 500 to 1,000 houses and get away with it. I mean, that's a perfect prime example of where this government is not supporting the ordinary individual, no matter where they're from. So I'm going to the national immigrant thing in again. So they're not supporting all these people that may want to build their own home on their own land, and they've been told, no, you can't do that. There's one case down in Clare, and this is how far this goes, to Section 24. Mm-hmm. Not only do you have to be from the area and work on farming and horses, but you also have to speak Irish. Because there's a gate up there. That's a type of stupidity that the councils are getting away with. Now, the European Union ruled, I think it was 2008, that this was illegal. And do you think this government has acted on it? No. Because it's important private landlords. Nothing is going to change in this country under Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. None is true. And anybody who thinks otherwise is living in cooperland. Land. They're going to keep supporting private landlords. They're going to keep wasting billions of euro. And they don't give a shit about any single person on whether they're homeless, whether they're renting. Because when they're renting, they're supporting their colleagues and their friends. I mean, half of the landlords anyway. I mean, nothing's going to, if anybody thinks it's going to change, it's not going to change. Absolutely not.
Stay there with me, Jerry. Just stay there on the line, Jerry. I'm going to go to Maura now. Thanks for that, Jerry, but do stay with me. Hi, Maura. Okay. How are you? Welcome to Nighttime Talk.
Hi, AJ. I just wanted to come in there because you're talking about housing and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of flabbergasted about the whole kind of situation. I'm originally from Dublin, and I have been working, and I'm in college in Cork, and I'm doing a PhD in sociology, mm-hmm. and it's around housing and all that kind of thing. And what we have come up with, we have kind of discussed this at arm's length about you know, the whole thing about housing and all that kind of thing. But you have to understand one thing, like going back a few years ago, Dara O'Brien, who was the housing minister at the time, he had turned around and he had said, you know, we're bringing in, this is nothing to do with Ukrainians or anything like that. This is to do with the population.
Yeah.
And he had turned around and said, I'm bringing in 20,000 Ukrainians, and you know, we're going to house them, we're going to do this. And everybody agreed, and we were all kind of fine. Yeah, like, we're doing our bit. Yeah, why not, you know? And then all of a sudden it was like from 20,000 to 120,000, and then he stood there and he said that, you know what, nobody can tell me what to do. I can bring in as many people as I want. And then what happened was there were so many people coming in, and we just such a small kind of country that we weren't able for all of these people that were coming in, because it had such a knock-on effect with the housing, you know, the roads, the businesses, everything. Everything was just kind of, I suppose, like we were trying to tolerate that there were so many people in our country that we just could not accommodate everybody, you know.
So it was and just an influx too quickly on a country where we just weren't equipped, and we didn't plan it properly. Yeah. We didn't look at what we needed to look at properly. We didn't make sure that there was enough housing. We didn't make sure that there was enough resources, and we were just completely overwhelmed.
Yes, absolutely. And as I said, like, you know, I'm from Dublin originally, and I came down and I built my house in Cork and blah, blah, blah. And circumstances, I found myself that I had to rent. And when I was renting, I got notice from my landlord to say that, you know, we're going to sell the house. And then, unfortunately, we were homeless, myself and my family, and we had to move to a hotel for a couple of months. And when we moved to the hotel, there was so many families there that were actually homeless as well. We were in that situation that we were like, oh my God, this is just absolutely crazy. And then we started to look at, you know, trying to rent and trying to avail of all the services that were there. But unfortunately, there were just no houses. And then all of a sudden, they kind of went from, we were paying 950 rent to something like nearly 2,000, and we just couldn't do it. But I think that the whole blame is, now I'm not saying the whole blame is on Dara O'Brien, but I think what happened was that the influx of people, he just didn't cater for the whole thing that, you know, yeah, we'll bring 20,000. But you see, the whole thing is that it's behind the EU that, you know, as many people as we can bring in, we will get subsidised for that. And that's unfortunately what happened. And now we're here in this government, and that's how they are, you know, where they are.
Yep, and you're speaking absolute sense there, Maura, absolutely. And it's definitely something that has just gotten so much worse in the last couple of years, and it makes absolute perfect sense. We just were not equipped to deal with it at all. Stay with me there, Maura. I do just have to go to the ads. We'll be back after this. The number, if you want to get in touch, is 087-188-0008. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh. We are currently talking about the housing crisis. Maura, just stay there with me. I'm going to go to Eddie. I've got Eddie on the line. Hi, how are you doing?
Evening, AJ. You well?
Yeah, not too bad.
Oh, do you know what, AJ?
What?
The country's in bits. You can only fit, my dad used to say, you can only fit a pint in a pint glass, right? It doesn't matter, we're all the greatest will in the world that you want to help people. If you don't have the room, you don't have the room, right? Now, the more people you bring in, and this goes back again to the same topic as before, immigration, right? The more stress you put on the market, and it's all supply and demand. The government won't call it a housing emergency, right? Because then it makes it look that they're failures. Even though they got voted in on a promise that we're going to build X amount of houses each year, which they have failed to do. And here's the thing. This is Ireland's ticking time bomb for the people stuck in their 40s in the rental market, right? They're paying extortionate rent. By the time they pay that extortionate rent, they've nothing left to save for a mortgage. So they're now stuck in the renting bubble for the rest of their life.
It's a vicious circle then, Eddie.
Then when they get to retirement age, their income falls off a cliff, but their rent doesn't. That still needs to be paid. So you get to 65, 66, imagine having that hanging over your head.
It's going to be a massive issue when all of the people now come to retirement age. It's going to be a huge issue.
It's crazy. Like today, I was on RTE there on Facebook earlier on, Clwyd, this new authority, have bought up these properties in Boland's Mill down Ringsendway. And they're saying affordable housing for key workers, right? Police, nurses, etc. $18.50 a month. But then we add on the yearly fees of £1,400. Push it up to about £490. And people were saying, do you think a nurse is €500 a week to splash out on accommodation? It's absolutely crazy. I know people, they're on the council list over 15 years. And I know immigrants, because I'm friends with some of them, and they're only in the country 4 or 5 years and they're housed. And you have to go, you have the same amount of kids as that person. How have you usurped them in the queue? What is going on? I don't get it. I mean, what do we do to help people? They're saying now the average person has to earn 50,000 a year and be in a couple to get on the housing list, to even get looked at. So maybe, what was it? Four and a half times for a first-time buyer.
Oh, is it for a mortgage? Yeah, it's for a mortgage, you can borrow 4.5 times. But I mean,
yeah.
it's
so
very strict already.
So let's move it up to 5 or 6. And let's make, instead of 35-year mortgages, maybe 40-year mortgages. And let's bring down how much you have to have as a deposit. You know, we have to do these things to help people, because we don't want people stuck in the rental bubble all their life and the worry when they get to retirement age. I fear for my nephews and nieces. I mean, I see it. I work at the airport. I see people dropping off their kids in their droves. All our talent is leaving the country, and it's been replaced. Mm. It's been replaced by people who aren't as educated, who can barely speak the bloody English language, and nowhere near as good as talent as what's leaving. You know?
It is the same everywhere, I will say. So people who are going abroad, they're all coming back within 1 or 2 years. Not they're all coming back, but there's a massive percentage of them that are coming back, because I can tell you from personal experience, living in the UK is completely undoable. It's crazy.
Well,
that the cost...
I lived in the UK for 16 years, AJ, right? The north of England.
But that was quite a while ago, though, wasn't it, Eddie?
Yeah, that was about... Yeah, I came back about 12, 13 years ago. Well, yeah. All my best mates are still there. But, and you know, one of the biggest parts of the problem is HAP. When the government start giving people HAP up to 400 or 500 quid a week, the landlords were like, this is great, because yeah. That's the base rate. Yeah. That's the base rate now, and everyone else in the private sector, i.e. worker professionals, they're going to have to match that now. And someone on the HAP might have a great amount of HAP, and all they have to do is throw 60 quid a week to it, and it was brilliant. But it wasn't great for people in the rental sector. And also now, with the lack of accommodation, I know nephews and nieces of mine who are on the HAP, and they turn up for a viewing, and there's like 100 people. And straight away, the landlord goes, I want a working professional. And you might have the HAP, but that's not even a guarantee you're going to get a place.
Can I just say one thing there?
Maura, you go ahead. Yeah,
sorry,
Eddie, just I'm going to let Maura in there.
You just said like 100 people would turn up. I'm just wondering how many people are Irish that would turn up, you know, because like thing is, as I said, there's a huge influx of people and nobody can put anybody anywhere. And, you know, we're all kind of wondering where all these people, the 120,000 people that come in, you know, where are they all going? You know, I understand that, you know, there's certain places that they are going, but you know, who's going to turn up at these places? Are they all Irish?
Well, here's another thing, right? And people call you far right if you bring this up, right? There's 320 IPAS centres at the moment around Ireland with 60,000 people in. Now, these people, they're not very educated, right? They can barely speak the English. So when they get jobs, they're not going to be high paying jobs that they can rent. So they're going to filter down onto the housing list and add more stress to it. People don't like admitting that, and you get called racist, but that is a fact. The people that are coming here are not very educated, and they can barely speak the language. So they're going to get low-paying jobs. Now, in the future, the next generation, when they get educated and the kids go to school, that's great. But the problem we have now is all of these people in these IPAS centres need housing, and every single one of them will end up put on the housing list, adding more pressure.
No one's disputing that, Eddie. The system is broken.
The system's completely broken. And we have to turn around and say, enough is enough. We can't take any more in until we deal with what we have.
We definitely need a stronger immigration policy for sure moving forward, because...
Poland and Hungary turned around and said, no.
And Germany.
And they don't have half the problems we do. And it's great that we want to help people. I'm all for helping people. But at the behest of our own, it's not right. It isn't right. And you have to turn around and say, look, until we get a handle on what we have here at the moment, with the grace of God, we want to help people. But until we get a handle on it, we can't help everyone. We're a small little country. You know, we've enough problems of our own. And we need to turn around and say, look, there's no more coming in until we get a handle on this, because it's only going to get worse.
And like you say, Eddie, I mean, it's even just until we get a handle on it. You know what I mean? It's just like, I feel like it's just the system just needs a break and we need to just be able to try and reset. I've just had a message there. It says, I'm 48 years old with 5 kids. I've been on the housing list since my first child was born. I was 18 at the time my first child was born, and I'm still waiting for a house. Now we are renting and the rent is €3,250 per month in Galway. I don't know how people are affording these rents. It's absolutely, it's just mind-boggling, really. It's ridiculous.
I don't have kids, right? And at the moment, it's the one thing I've done right, because I'm a worrier and I worry about the future. I already worry about me nephews and nieces, and I turn around to them all and I say, don't have a kid early. Even if you have to stay at home from 20 to 30 for 10 years, get a job, get your head down, save 200 quid a week, just bang it into the credit union, that's 10 grand a year, After 10 years, you have 100 grand. If you meet a partner and they have a good head and the shoulders like you, all of a sudden you're a power couple and you have a good chunk for a deposit. You can still have a good life from 30 on. But don't get stuck with kids at a young age that you can't go out and work now. And then you have to go on the couch.
That's sad, Eddie.
You can't say that. You can't say that at all.
It's the way, it's unfortunately, it's the way life is, though.
I know, you can't say that. But, like, the thing is, coming back to the whole housing crisis and all that kind of thing, like, as I said, and I'll keep saying this, Darragh O'Brien, he stood there on the puppet and he said, I'm letting 20,000 people in. And we all said, yes, let 20,000 people in. No. We'll do our bit for society and we will let these people in. And then all of a sudden he's like, I'm letting 120,000 people in and everybody's giving out. And he stood there and he said, I can fucking do what I want because I'm the
Hang on a second.
We now have a guy called James Brown and he is just gone to the wall.
Jerry.
Nobody knows who he is, what he is. He has nothing to
so
do.
So James Brown was the
here.
Junior Justice Minister and now he is
Adrian,
the Housing Minister.
There?
Sorry, Jerry, yes, go ahead.
Good, but first of all, that lady, I can't think of her name.
Maura.
I never welcomed anybody. I never welcomed anybody. Micheál Martin decided he was going to bring the Ukrainians into this country. And it was the biggest scam that ever took place in this country. Do you know at this very moment in time, I can book a hotel in Kyiv and they charge me €200 a night. Why the hell are the hotels in Ukraine are housing their own people? And I tell you the reason why. This is not Palestine we're talking about where there's total devastation. There's only one part of Ukraine that's been attacked. And it's all over the Russian side of the border. The rest of Ukraine is perfect. And they came over here with not one of them was means tested. Huh. They got the full social welfare. Straight on. That was Micheál Martin. Brainwashed everybody. Nobody in this country welcomed those people in. Some people hung at the flags, all right. But nobody made that decision except for Micheál Martin. And he said that these were refugees. They weren't refugees. They came in on a scam. They came in on brand new cars, and you see them driving around in brand new cars. Not one of them was means tested. They were allowed back to go on holidays 100%. Back to Ukraine. Like at Christmas, they were all going back to Ukraine again on holidays. Like, that's not a wrong time.
You've seen videos of people from the Middle East coming in, and he said, we're Ukrainian. And everyone's like, no, you know. You haven't even got the same skin type, you know. Everyone just came under the umbrella of Ukrainian amnesty. And that chap is right. Part of Ukraine's at war. But if you go on to booking.com, you can book a night in Kiev or whatever, Donetsk, the whole lot.
Absolutely.
Know? We're just a soft touch.
And the other thing that Micheál Martin did as well, I think there was I'm not sure the exact figure, but there's 25,000 Ukrainians being housed in private homes. And they came in that way, like the agriculture. €800
Yeah, they're getting the ARP
program, €800
a month.
Yeah, and some of them are working. But what I'm saying is the Irish people here.
Jerry, sorry, I think your line is going there, Jerry. Jerry, I think you're just breaking up slightly.
Sure, AJ, you know the Department of Immigration downtown in Mount Street? When you come here as an asylum seeker, right? And you sit down and you have your little interview and you fail your asylum process, you have to self-exit the country. You have to present yourself at the airport and say, excuse me, mister, I'm not supposed to be here. What a backward little country we are. What a backward little country we are.
Yeah, I mean,
and they just disappear into the ether.
The process is mind-boggling. Go ahead, Maura,
There's just down in Matton Point, right, in Cork, okay, there's all these little hubs, these little places that were built specifically for the Ukrainians. And we went down and we did some research. And when we went into the little neighbourhood that they were, you know, the houses that were there, they invited us in. And these were just fantastic. Oh, my goodness. We went in and they're like three-bedroom little hubs and all this kind of thing. And at the time, I was living homeless. And I was standing there going, oh, my God, how did you get this? How did this happen? And they turned around and said, we don't know. We came over here and we were just brought in and we were given a house. And I was standing there and I was so envious and I was kind of going...
Were these the little prefabricated houses?
Yeah. They're down in Mahon Point, just outside Mahon Point. Like, it's a beautiful, beautiful area. But I'm not saying anything, I'm not taking anything away from the Ukrainians or anything. But when I came out, all of the cars that were there, they brought over with them. And they were like all these state-of-the-art cars. They were all fantastic cars. So the people that were being housed here, they weren't coming from, they were coming from Ukraine, but they weren't coming from, you know, a poor area. They were actually coming from one place to the other, and they were living it up in what they have. And I have nothing against them at all, but they were, you know, getting the best possible service they could get in Ireland. They were coming from one area to another, and they were able to bring their family over in these beautiful little hubs and have their cars parked outside. And it's just, it's actually fantastic. It's like, you know, one of these things that you would see on a Monopoly board and you're kind of going, oh my God, I'd love to live in that area. And then when you go to it, it's actually the area that's fair.
It sounds like a Centre
and,
Parks, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, there's 320 families living there, and they're just, they have no idea what Ireland is about. And you say to them, you know, this going on, that's going on, and all this kind of thing. And they're like, what? You know.
Yeah, that's mad. They're in a little, just yeah, yeah. And it does sound like a little sort of like a little commune. Okay, Maura, just stay with me there. I'm just going to go to Jennifer because I have to go to the ads in a second and she's been waiting for quite a few minutes. Hiya, Jennifer. Sorry to leave you waiting for so long. How are you?
Hi, AJ. Now, I tell you what it is. I have a 23-year-old now, and she's still living at home. And herself and her boyfriend have two good jobs. And like that, and they can't afford the rent now anymore. Like, it's just gone colossal, like, you know, that way.
Yeah.
And they were even thinking of going off to his mum's and putting the pods outside. You know the pods?
Yes, yeah.
And they're thinking about 40 or 50 grand to settle in the pod, like, you know, that way. Because, like, they went down to the banks and they said, because you're, like, coming to a certain age when you're 30, you won't be able to afford your mortgage. Like, you know, that way it's just a joke.
And so with these pods, would you have to get planning permission for them?
Yeah. You have to get all planning permission to build outside his mum and dad's back garden. But, and here you go again. Okay, they're going to be mortgage free or whatever. But they have still no hope, because they're going to have 20 grand each before they're going to even apply for anything like that, you know, that way.
And
they can't afford to rent, because the rents are 2.5-3 grand a month for them. So basically they're going to be working in full time jobs to pay the landlord. It's crazy.
And are they living at home at the moment? I mean, this is just so common now that, you know, people in their 20s are all living at home.
And it's like that now. And it's like that, AJ, and I'm sure you have young kids as well, and you're worried about now, say 10 or 15 years down the line, how what way are they going to be able to afford the rent, and how are they going to have steady jobs and stuff like that, you know?
You just keep hoping.
Don't pay rent. It's dead money.
It is dead money, absolutely.
What they're better off doing is, your daughter moves back in with you, he moves back in with his parents, and they save like Trojans, and they spend a night or two with each other once a week in his house and once a week in that house. It's the only way to do it. Just stay at home. Do it for about 5 years. Bang as much as you can a week away. That sacrifice you make at 23, by the time you're 30, you'll be glad you've done it. Don't go and buy a pod and waste 50 grand. I'm telling you.
How long would one of these pods
last? If you want to end up having kids, you don't want them in a bloody pod.
No, and then here you go again. Like, I know my good friend, she lives over in Dunleary, right? And she took in the Ukrainians there when it all started off, right? And she got paid €900 per month. Then, of course, then she's on disability allowance. And then she was also getting living alone allowance. So she actually got more than anybody for taking in these refugees.
Some people know how to work the system, don't they?
Yeah, and there you go. When I actually seen her coming into her front garden, right, and she had the decks to close. She came in with two big suitcases and a guitar, and she came in with jeans, she came in with jumpers and stuff what we could never afford. And there she is coming in with brand new suitcases full of clothes, brand new clothes and all, she was getting, because she was getting the clothing allowance and everything. It makes you sick.
Well, guys, if you all just stay with me there, I'm going to have to go to the ads. We're talking about the housing crisis and everyone does have something to say about this because everybody's been affected. If you do want to get in touch on WhatsApp, 087-188-0008 is the number. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, filling in for Niall Boylan. We're talking about the housing crisis, which we're just getting so many messages in. One person has said it's the biggest topic in the country at the moment. I've got a text here from somebody and they're saying, my fiance and I have just got mortgage approval on the rental property we're living in the last few years. Landlord was forced to sell by the RTB as the house needs essential repairs such as rewiring. The landlord couldn't afford to do this. The home is a mid-terraced, small three-bedroom house worth about 200k. We searched and searched for another rental where we live, went to about 18 viewings, only to find that estate agents didn't turn up. Houses were in foul conditions for astronomical prices. Also, there were several other couples there viewing the house. We had no hope of getting it. Even though we provided payslips, references, ID and both of us were our working professionals. We have one child, he's still a baby, and a dog. No rental will accept pets. We were faced with homelessness or buy this house. So we knuckled down for 6 months, saved the deposit, lived off €30 a week for food, and now we're going to be tied to a 25-year mortgage in a house we didn't want, but a house we needed. We had no help from family and don't come from wealth. There's nowhere to rent as we are working. As we're working, threshold and council would not help us. Home ownership was our only option. We even considered living in a camper van at one point. You know, I can totally relate. I was in that position when I first moved back to Ireland. I was living in the UK and I was living in Spain. And I moved back and we could not find anywhere to live. We were living in some seriously terrible, terrible conditions. We lived in a house that was filled with black mold. We got evicted. There was all sorts of things going on. It was absolutely mental. So I can totally, totally relate and empathise with anybody that's struggling or anybody that doesn't have their own home. I'm still stuck renting. I've been renting for absolutely years. And yeah, it is dead money, as Eddie says, and it's a sad state of affairs for a lot of us. I'm going to go to Peter Dooley from the from the Renters Union. Hiya, Peter. How are you?
Good evening, AJ. How are you keeping?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. It's nice to have you on for this. So obviously, you know, we're talking about the housing crisis. What sort of angle are you coming at this from?
Listen, it's like I've nearly talked to it at this stage for years and years, talking about the housing disaster. And it's heartbreaking. Like it's a human cost of what's going on. And it's hitting everybody across society. Like from the sharpest end, where you see people on the streets. Like last year, 40 people died on the streets of Dublin. Nobody talks about it. It's their own full-blown humanitarian disaster and they ignore it. And there's a lot of people in Ireland, I'll be frank about it, who are making a lot of money from what's going on. And that's the reality. Like, there's a lot of people in Ireland that are pretty happy the way things are going and really couldn't care less about people struggling with paying high rents, people struggling, you know, can't get a house to live in terms of house prices off through the roof as well for people. And then on top of it, you have a younger generation, like delaying starting a family, getting married, younger people emigrating. And in particular, like, you know, you see the immigration on top of it, which is creating huge pressures on top of the services and lack of, you know, basic resources for people as well. But I mean, you know, that's the big thing in Ireland because, like, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, vested interests. The bankers are making money out of it. Landlords are making money out of it. Vulture funds are making money out of it. And the majority, like up to 40%, 30 to 40% of the TDs and the DAL are landlords. And like, surely that's a blatant conflict of interest in terms of their policy. So they're even benefiting from it. If you look at Michael Healy-Ray, who's this independent is making up the government. He's probably one of the wealthiest TDs in the DAL now. And he's now a landlord. And he plays this narrative, sure, I'm a man of the people. And that's the problem in Ireland, AJ, I think. Because like, there's a lot of this, people just accept what's going on, and a lot of people, as I said, are doing quite well from it. And it's not acceptable to be homeless. It's not acceptable to have somewhere completely unaffordable to live, and pay nearly all your income over on rent, and then like at the whim of a landlord, you get evicted, and you're living in substandard. The majority of people I know and I'm helping are living in absolutely substandard conditions, overcrowded conditions. They're living, and it's causing the mental health prices in Ireland, you know, because of all the pressures people are under as well.
So, I mean, the fallout from this, from the housing crisis is absolutely massive. Like, I mean, some of the points you've made there about mental health, it's a humanitarian disaster. Young people are emigrating. Bankers and landlords are the only ones making money from this. And then, obviously, you're a representative for the Renters Union. Thousands of properties in South Dublin were found to be in breach of minimum standards for rental tenancies last year, according to new figures. Inspectors on behalf of South Dublin City Council carried out surveys at 4,772 properties, and 3,594 were non-compliant with regulations that set minimum standards for rental homes. So a lot of people that are paying these extortionate prices are living in homes that are not fit for purpose. Now, I was one of those people that was living in a house that was absolutely not fit for anybody to live in. It was full of black mould, green mould, white mould. It had all different colours. Like, it was disgusting where we were living. And we were treated disgustingly by the landlord as well. You've got no rights. You've got no voice here. I find in this country when you're a renter, and the landlord has all the power, really, is what from my experience.
Well, absolutely. Like, if you look at the legislation, like, the ones who enact the legislation in the main are landlords. And as I said, it's a blatant conflict of interest when landlords enact this legislation. Then they have institutions such as the Residential Tenancies Board and the RTB that enforce the legislation, and they're seen to act as being as fair arbiters. But there's nothing fair where you're living in substandard conditions and you're afraid to raise your head above the parapet because the landlord's going to serve you with an eviction notice, and then you're going to end up on the streets, or you're going to end up with an illegal rent increase.
That was advice given from, like, Threshold or whatever. It's like, oh, well, you know, you can't really do anything because, you know, you might get evicted. And it was, so no matter what was happening in that situation, we couldn't do anything because we might get evicted. So I'm sorry, Peter, say that again.
AJ, this is the problem. But this is the problem with Threshold as well. Like, and this is reality. People have to wake up to this. The Threshold is funded through the state. So, like, they talk about non-government organisations. They're government organisations. They're not going to tell you anything that's going to go against what the legislation tells you. They're not going to say, well, you know, your home is a basic right. You should have security in your home. You should have safety. It's your last place of refuge for more and more people. And people don't see a home as being a basic societal and social good. That's a foundation block of any functioning society. And in Ireland in particular, when you see the sharpest end, and it's the knock-on effects of all this that I've spoken about in terms of the mental health crisis. That, like, there's people I know that are getting prescribed antidepressants every day of the week. And they go to the doctor and they're like, you know, I'm getting evicted. The doctor prescribes them an antidepressant, and they don't talk about the issue that's going on. So they internalise these issues, and these issues aren't being out in the open. Everybody should be discussing this. We shouldn't be ashamed to discuss what's going on in Ireland. And it's not like, you know, as I said, the sharpest end. And that's who I feel for. When you see people out in the streets of Dublin every day of the week, and people who have died in the streets of Dublin and streets all around Ireland, unnecessarily, because they don't get the support in terms of the services there, in terms of a basic right to a home. But it's not just a home. It's the services people need also as well when they're in those homes. Like, you know what I mean? To get proper support. And really, like, if you can't lift your weakest, you know, to an extent, your weakest link, what does it tell you about society? What does it really tell you where we live? Like, we're just living in a, you know, everybody up against each other every day of the week, and everybody, you know, competing with people rather than building a community, you know, through our country and society where we're proud of. Like, you can go back to well over 100 years ago, AJ, look at the foundation of the state. And James Connolly said, you know, if we don't go, we can change the flag of the country, no problem. But if we don't go about changing the material conditions of how society is organised in terms of who has the power in society, such as the big landlords versus people, we're at nothing. And, like, we're at a situation now where we've a lot of Irish people ripping off fellow Irish people. And at the same time, they're saying, well, I'm proud to be Irish. How are you proud to be Irish when you're throwing somebody out in the street? How are you proud to be Irish when you're ripping people off with sky-high rents? How are you proud to be Irish when people are forced to emigrate again, time and time again? How are you proud to be Irish when you have an immigration? Loads of people coming in, putting pressure on the services that are already here. Like, how? That's nonsense. So you need to put the needs of people in Ireland first. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I feel in terms of the people who are struggling. Like, people, and, you know, today I spoke, even as another example, today I spoke with two young doctors who are due to, the next couple of years, they're due to graduate. And they already said they're going to emigrate. Like, you know, so, like, that's because of the housing crisis.
It's very much the most basic level of society, and it's the most basic thing that we can try and fix, and it would solve so many more problems if we could just go back to this very basic, everybody has a right to a home.
Yeah, absolutely. But there are solutions there. Like, you look at the issues around the vacant homes, never addressed. Around Dublin, there's a glut of vacant homes. Like, I know I was supporting another young mother who has like 3 young kids and living in overcrowded conditions, vastly overcrowded with her mum in a council flat, like a 2-bedroom council flat. And the amount of vacant homes, even council homes that are close to her, that are completely empty, not being used, all around Dublin City. You go around, I know where yourselves are okay, but go across the docks, you look at Capital Dock there, the amount of vacancy within that Vulture-owned apartment, huge amount to keep the rents artificially high. There's vacant homes all around the city. We have Airbnb decimating our city as well, entire homes and apartments being let out in Airbnb with no regulations. We have dereliction all around our city. We have, a glut of these properties that are still there, that could be used. And we've commercial buildings, even in Dublin, 17-18% of the amount of commercial buildings we have in Dublin are vacant. Like, a lot of them could be transferred, for instance, into making apartments or homes for people with the facilities there in their neighbourhood. Like, this is.
So, do you
like,
think
know,
that that's
really,
the first
like,
place that we need to start is to utilise vacant properties?
Well, I think first of all, what I do, if I was into our housing tomorrow, the first thing I do is offer long-term security for people renting. So you have long-term security. You build public housing for people and on public land. If you build public housing that's open to all income levels, so you don't have people competing with each other. You don't have somebody on 40,000 who can't get access to the council housing list versus people who are on 45,000 paying all their money open in rent. And the politicians won't talk about this. I would stop the sell-off of council housing. That's a vital component that helps them solve our housing crisis. And the politicians never talk about it because it's not a vote winner for them. They like selling off your public stock, privatising your stock. And now at the same time, around Dublin, you look at all the council, the ex-council estates, they're gone. Like, you know, we look at areas like, for instance, Crumlin, Cabra. A lot of these places now, you're paying a fortune to buy a house there. And in the second instance, you're paying a fortune even to rent there. And these were all built through public money. But the politicians just constantly would say, the solution is social and affordable housing, social and affordable housing.
So they just keep coming up with the wrong solutions, basically. So, I mean, do you think that even the first government meeting that they had on housing, do you think that it was a complete waste of time? Like, are they talking about the wrong things?
It's like where a turkey's going to vote for Christmas, AJ. They're not going to vote for anything that goes against their interests.
Yeah.
They're looking for more tax breaks for developers. It's like the days of the Galway tent back again in Ireland. Give more tax breaks to the private interests to make more money. And then at the same time, they're saying, right, we're going to bring rents down if we get extra supply. But they're in it for a return on their investment to make as much as they can. They don't want the rents to go down because they're happy enough the way everything's going. They don't want house prices to drop because the bankers are making a lot of money on their interest rates. So, you know, you have to look at, pull the veil from the government and look who they represent. These are the guys behind them. Why do so many members of the government go and work with bank lobbying companies? Why do they work with vulture funds? Andy Kenny went to work with a vulture fund. Brian Hayes is the chair of the Banking Payments Federation in Ireland. Like, who did he work for? So it's like the Wizard of Oz. You pull back the veil from behind them and you know who's behind them, and it's these guys all behind them. And that's the reality of it. Like, if people think, like, oh, I'll vote for this politician, I'll vote for that politician, they'll give me this, they'll give me that. No, we need a radical reformation of the system. The system itself is corrupt to the core in Ireland. And like, unless people realise that, instead of thinking, well, I'll just put my head down, I'll try and get on with it. We really need, for me, the whole 1916 revolution, like, what did those people die for? What did they give their lives for? Like, what Ireland are we living in now compared to what happened? What way it's gone? This is a million miles away. We've an Irish government that are selling off our sovereignty to Brussels. They've no interest in serving the interests of the people. They ignore the people on the main issues. They ignore people on housing. They ignore them on health. They ignore people on the immigration chaos. They ignore people on everything. So I think fundamentally, you have to pull back the veil from what's going on in Ireland and like really think what country we should build. Like, I love Ireland. I love Dublin. Like, but unfortunately, it's being destroyed. It's been destroyed by greed, by so many policies based on everything about money, rack rent and landlords, slum landlords. Every day of the week I'm dealing with slum landlords, and they're getting away with it. There's no enforcement. They just get away and do whatever the hell they want and cause an untold misery on people's lives. And not mention the stress that goes on to families and friends and communities. That is actually incalculable to what's really happening in our society at the moment. Like, and that's the reality. They don't want to talk about this. At least you're talking about it, AJ, and fair play to you discussing it, because this won't be discussed. They won't talk about this on any other stations, RTE or News Talk. Anytime I'll be on with them, they don't even discuss this, like, you know.
Yeah, no, and you've made some really good points, Peter, and I am going to have to go to the news, though. But I mean, it is shocking when you lay it out like that, and it's all of the problems that then come from this, the mental health, the deaths of homeless people on our streets, slum landlords getting away with things. And the thing is that things will never change because it is not in the best interest of our TDs in government at the moment. I'm really sorry, Adam, I didn't get a chance to come to you. I am going to have to go to the news. Thank you to everybody who got involved. Thanks to Eddie, Peter Dooley from the Renters Union. Thanks to Maura. And sorry, Adam, like I say, I didn't get to get to you.
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.